Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about, 56 degrees outside. It's supposed to be in the 70s later this week, so I'm definitely going to enjoy the weather because we have some more cold weather coming in towards this weekend. But I had a great weekend of watching sports, and I'm ready to talk about it all with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at DukeBoy100. You can also you can also like my show on Facebook. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. I believe the show's, you can also listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com, and I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk about the national championship game in college football that takes place tonight between Alabama and Clemson. We'll break down that matchup. Also, the rematch of last year's great game between Alabama and Clemson. Also, we'll talk NFL playoffs. We'll talk about the four wild card games that took place this weekend. And also, we'll look ahead to the divisional games a little bit ahead. We'll look more into the divisional round on my next show on Friday, guys. But we'll talk a little bit about that, get you ready for the divisional round. Also, we'll talk NBA. We'll talk college basketball. We'll do that as well. And we do have a special guest. Dick Vitale is going to stop by and give us his thoughts on the national championship. But let's turn our attention to the national championship game between Alabama, number one Alabama versus number two Clemson, 7 o'clock Central tonight on ESPN. When we talk about Alabama, you have to talk about their quarterback, Jalen Hurts. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's going to have to make some big plays in the past game after Alabama was going to win the national title. You know, he really struggled against Washington. He was only 7 of 14 for 57 yards. He's going to have to be a lot better than that tonight. He's also going to make plays with his legs as well. Also, when you look at the Alabama team, you have to talk about their defense. They were great last week against Washington, turning turnovers into points. That's what Alabama does. That's what they do. They love to turn turnovers into points. I mean, my goodness, I mean, I've never seen a team that excels at doing that as much as Alabama defense. That's what they do. I mean, you turn the ball over, they return it for touchdowns. For Clemson, Deshaun Watson, he was special last week. He had 316 total yards and 3 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions. He has to avoid the interceptions in this football game. They have to avoid mistakes. Alabama, they don't need your help. They're good enough to beat you without you turning the ball over. Clemson cannot turn the ball over tonight. And also the Clemson defensive line, they caused havoc last week against Ohio State. They shut down the Ohio State run game as well. They're going to have to do that again against Alabama. They're going to have to make Alabama one-dimensional. I think that will be a key for Clemson. Some other keys to the game for Clemson. On offense, they have to be balanced. They have to get their playmakers. Their playmakers have to make plays in space. Involved. They have to get Artavius Scott involved. They have to make plays in space. And on defense, they must shut down the run game. I think that's going to be key again for Clemson to beat Alabama. They have to shut down the run game and force Jalen Hurts to beat them through the air. I think that's going to be a big, big key for Clemson. And for Alabama on offense, Jalen Hurts must get his outside weapons involved. That means that Darius Stewart, O.J. Howard, and also Calvin Ridley. They're going to have really good games if Alabama's going to win and beat Clemson. On defense, Alabama must keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket. I think that's going to be a big key for them. When he gets out of the pocket, he can really make plays. He can make plays with his legs or his arms. So Alabama's going to have to do a good job of containing him and keeping him in the pocket. My final prediction on this game should be a great rematch. I mean, man, I've been looking forward to this all year long. I really thought it was going to come down to Alabama and Clemson. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I'm sure both teams have and both fan bases have. But I like Alabama to win the rematch 28-24. So I like Alabama to win and Clemson to cover the, I believe the spread is 6.5. But I think Alabama gets the job done. I think their defense will be too much. I think Deshaun Watson will throw an interception or two, and that'll be the difference. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to play much better than he did against Washington. It'll be interesting to see how what imprint Steve Sarkisian leaves on this, on Alabama's offense, I should say. That'll be very interesting to see. But I like Alabama to win by 4 points. So I think it'll be close, but I like Alabama to win. Don't forget, if you want to let me know your national title prediction, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll listen to music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we have a special guest. Dick Vitale is going to join us, and he's going to let us know who he's picking tonight. And also, he'll talk a little college basketball as well. And then we'll come back. We'll talk NFL playoffs. We'll do all that next after we listen to some Ariana Grande on Moe's Sports Talk.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney's genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Boy, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are.
Oh, are you serious? Oh, it's me, baby. It's Dickie B. Oh, I want to talk a little college football, baby. Oh, it's going to be awesome tonight. We got Alabama and Nick Saban going for a 6th national title, taking on Clemson, baby, and Dabo. But I'm going to tell you, folks, at the end of this game, it's going to be Alabama. Alabama's going to be, oh, they're going to win again, baby. They're going to go back-to-back. They're going to win back-to-back national titles. The defense is just too much, baby. It's an iron curtain, baby. Oh, I'm looking forward to the college football game, but the college basketball's heating up, baby. Baylor's number one, the Baylor Bears. Can you believe it? But they better watch out on Tuesday night, heading to West Virginia, down to Morgantown, baby, Press Virginia. Oh, but watch out for the Dukies. I know they suffered an injury. I know Jefferson's going to be out for a couple of games, it looks like, maybe more. That's devastating, but watch out for the Dukies. Oh, but again, don't forget Alabama to win the national title.
Well, thank you, Dick Vitale, stopping by, giving us his thoughts on who is going to win the national championship game. He's going to go with Alabama with me. I definitely agree with that. We shall wait and see. But let's turn our attention to the NFL playoffs. And by the way, I went 4-0 in my wild card picks. Listen to Moe's Sports Talk. You're going to learn something. I mean, just listen to Moe's Sports Talk. Don't listen to these people who tell you that Oakland's like in the Sports Illustrated magazine, Oakland's going to beat Houston. Don't listen to those people. Don't listen to those people who tell you Detroit's going to beat Seattle. Listen to Moe's Sports Talk at 5:30. You're going to learn something. I'm just letting you know. But let's talk about these games that took place. On Saturday, Houston dominated Oakland, beat him 27-14. Brock Osweiler threw for 168 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed for another score. He was accurate. He played really well, didn't turn the ball over. I was pleasantly surprised by how Brock Osweiler played. Lamar Miller, he had 31 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, not real effective, but still effective enough that Houston got the victory. DeAndre Hopkins made some big plays in the pass game. He had 67 yards receiving and a touchdown. Houston's defense was the big story. They had 3 sacks, and also they forced turnovers. That was a big key in Houston getting the victory. The Raiders had just 203 total yards of offense. Connor Cook was only 18 of 45, so only he completed 40% of his passes for 161 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions. Look, he wasn't good. He didn't play well. But look, that's not all on him. He needed some help from his receivers. His big play receivers didn't step up. big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and they didn't have that. Amari Cooper, he didn't make enough big plays. Michael Crabtree did get hurt in the second half. He didn't make enough big plays. They needed those two to make some big plays, and also they didn't run the ball effectively enough. Latavius Murray only had 64 yards rushing and a touchdown. They needed more from their run game to take some pressure off of Connor Cook in those third and long situations and those obvious pass downs when he got killed by the Houston rush. They needed more from the offensive line from the Oakland Raiders. That did not happen. So give it up to Houston. The defense was really good, and they get the job done. They're moving on to take on the Patriots on Saturday night. So that's going to be tough. They're already 17-point underdogs, so 16.5, something like that. That's going to be really tough. But a nice win over Oakland. And for Oakland fans, I know you're sad your team lost, but look, you have to feel really good about your season. You made the playoffs. If you had stayed healthy, I think Oakland would have went even farther in the playoffs. But look, they have to be feeling really excited about next season. I know next season is a long time away, but still you have to feel really excited about the future of this Oakland Raider team. Also, on Saturday, Seattle, they whipped Detroit, beat them 26-6. Russell Wilson threw for 224 yards and two touchdowns. Thomas Rawls rushed for 161 yards and a touchdown. You have to give it up to the offensive line of Seattle. They did a great job in their run game. And I thought they've struggled. They've been inconsistent all season long, but they were really good on Saturday night. And that's the big reason why Seattle got the victory. They were really physical, and they dominated in the trenches. Doug Baldwin also had 104 yards and a touchdown for Seattle in the win. For Detroit, Matthew Stafford was only 18 of 32. He threw for only 205 yards. And Detroit rushed for just 49 yards. Again, you have to give it up to that Seattle defense. Now, you know how good that Seattle defense is. Just think, they don't have Earl Thomas. I mean, my goodness, that was an impressive performance there for Seattle. Marvin Jones had 81 yards receiving, but Detroit was limited to just 237 total yards of offense. So it's always tough to win in Seattle, and Seattle gets the job done. They're moving on to Atlanta to take on the ATL on Saturday afternoon. That'll be very, very interesting. That's a tough game to pick. I'm just letting you know, because if Seattle can run the ball effectively and keep Atlanta's offense on the sidelines, that'll be big. And that Seattle pass rush, they can get after you. But without Earl Thomas, that could be an issue. And that could be a real issue for the Seattle defense. I know they have that big road win they had over New England. That was a great win, road win for Seattle, but they usually struggle on the road. They really, really struggle on the road. And the ATL is a tough place to play. Atlanta's defense is suspect at best, but that offense can put up points. They scored 540 points for the whole year, tied with the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, back when they were playing in St. Louis. So anyway, they can really score the football, so we'll talk more about that on my Friday show. Don't forget, if you want to talk NFL, you want to talk about the national title game tonight, you want to talk NBA, you want to talk college basketball, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. On Sunday, the Steelers, they blasted the Dolphins, beating them 30-12. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 197 yards, two touchdowns, did have two interceptions. Why in the world was he in the football game? I just don't understand. At the very end, when they're up 30-12, why in the world is he sitting back there passing the football? Made no sense at all. Now he's walking around with a walking boot on. Looks like he's going to play against Kansas City, but is he going to be 100%? If he's 100%, I kind of lean towards the Steelers to beat Kansas City, but is he going to be 100%? I don't know. Le'Veon Bell was a big reason why the Steelers got the victory. He had 167 yards rushing and two touchdowns. He's just big time. Antonio Brown had 124 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Those big two early scores really set the tone for the game. And Pittsburgh's defense was really good. They had five sacks, and they also held Miami to 52 yards rushing. And we talked about that on my Friday show. I said if Pittsburgh is going to win, if they're going to dominate, they're going to have to stop the Dolphins' run game, and they did that. They did a great job of really shutting down the Dolphins' run game. Matt Moore threw for 289 yards, a touchdown. He did have an interception. He also fumbled the ball twice. Jarvis Landry had 102 yards receiving, but Jay Ajayi only 33 rushing yards. Got to give it up to the Pittsburgh defense. They did a great job of being sure tacklers, also gang tackling. They did a great job of that. And also Miami had three turnovers as well. So now Pittsburgh heads to Kansas City. And again, to me, it's all about Ben Roethlisberger's health. If Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, I like the Steelers. If he's not, I would pick Kansas City, obviously. If he's not 100% in Kansas City, that's going to be tough. That is going to be really, really tough because you know Kansas City is not going to beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over. They don't beat themselves. You're going to have to beat Kansas City. You're going to have to make some big plays in the pass game. You have to be balanced. And if Ben Roethlisberger is not healthy, I don't see how they can beat Kansas City. That's going to be really, really tough. So I'm kind of – boy, I'm in a – that's going to be really tough to pick. Again, we'll break down the matchup more on Friday. And then finally, I told you Green Bay would get the job done against the Giants at home, and they did. I didn't think it would be by 25 points. Green Bay beats down the Giants 38-13. Aaron Rodgers threw for 362 yards and four touchdowns. He has to be – he's the king of the Hail Mary. I mean, my goodness, he makes Hail Marys look easy. I mean, how in the world – how in the world are the – he's completed three Hail Marys in the last two seasons. I mean, that's just impressive. He's the new king of the Hail Marys. Randall Cobb had 116 yards receiving and three touchdowns. Devontae Adams had 125 yards receiving and a touchdown. They were big time. Green Bay had over 400 total yards of offense. And again, Aaron Rodgers' ability to make plays, to keep plays alive and to keep his head downfield and to make the plays. I mean, he made that touchdown that he threw to Adams was big time. The Cobb touchdown, again, the Hail Mary was big time. I mean, this guy is playing at a high, high level. Man, he can make plays out of the pocket. That has to be frustrating for a defense, and it was real. Had to be real frustrating for the Giants. Eli Manning threw for 299 yards, a touchdown, did have interception. The Giants turned the ball over two times, but the receivers did not make enough plays. Just critical drops. Odell Beckham had a drop that would have been a touchdown. Shepard had a drop that would have been a touchdown. Just critical drops for the Giants. Now, that being said, now look, a lot of people will say, well, they went and partied in Miami. That had very little to do with it. I think more the cold weather has something to do with it. That's not an excuse. Some people say that. Yeah, that's an excuse. You have to make those catches. That's no doubt about that. If you want to be one of the best receivers in the game, like Odell Beckham wants to be, you have to make those catches in those big time games. You have to step up and make big time plays. And he didn't step up and make big time plays in his first ever playoff game. But that being said, to me, that had nothing to do with what they did in Miami. Obviously, it turned into a distraction. But to me, you got to make plays on the football field. And like again, it's 19 degrees. I'm sure it's really tough to make those catches. I'm sure it's not easy, but Green Bay was making the catch. I know they're used to that where they practice in that kind of weather, and that's home field advantage. But you got to make those catches. You got to make those catches. And again, the Giants defense, they didn't make enough plays. You have to force turnovers. They didn't force any turnovers. And Green Bay's defense did force turnovers. They were much better than what I thought. You have to give credit to the Green Bay defense, especially the secondary. I thought they would get torched a little bit. I thought Green Bay would win, but I thought it would be a high-scoring affair. I predicted a score of 31-24, but it was a complete Green Bay domination. They struggled early, but Giants, they kicked field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. Again, not making those critical plays, and the Packers get the victory. Now they head to take on the number one seed in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be very, very interesting. Again, if I'm a Dallas fan, I'm going to have to be a little nervous. I'm just letting you know. You got to be a little nervous. That man, Aaron Rodgers, he's a bad man. He's a bad, bad man. But that being said, can Green Bay's defense – Can they shut down the run game? And if they shut down the run game and force Dax to beat them through the air, he can do that because the Packers' secondary is very, very questionable. So it'll be interesting. We'll definitely be breaking down that matchup and the rest of the divisional games on my Friday show. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Jackson 5, and then when we come back, we'll talk NBA and college basketball from this weekend. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk. Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. Memphis, they did upset Golden State Warriors 128-119 on Friday night. The Memphis Grizzlies were down by 24 points in this game, and they came back to win in overtime, by the way. Mike Conley had 27 points and 12 assists. Zach Randolph, he had 27 points off the bench. So a big, he had a throwback game. Zach Randolph had a throwback game. Also, they were plus 14 on the glass was the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's, again, that's the one of the Warriors' weaknesses, if they have any weakness, a chink in the armor, I should say, is on the boards. Steph Curry, he scored 40 points. Kevin Durant, he scored 27. But they were just 8 of 30 from the three-point line. Also, they only had 23 assists, which is you got to give credit to the Memphis Grizzly defense, but some of that is Golden State not with their regular ball movement. Also, they have some defensive issues as well. They're going to have to get this stuff figured out. Like I said, I think Golden State's still going to come out of the West, in my opinion. It still comes down to can they beat Cleveland, in my opinion. And Cleveland got better. They traded for Kyle Korver. That trade took place on Saturday. The Cavs get Kyle Korver in Atlanta. They traded for Dunleavy, Mo Williams, and also I believe that Atlanta got a draft pick as well. But the open shots that Cleveland, that he's going to get, I know Kyle Korver has to be, I mean, he has to be one of the happiest people in the United States to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look at all the open shots he's going to get off of LeBron James' dribble drive penetration, also all the attention that Kyrie Irving gets. He's going to get wide open looks. I know he hasn't shot the ball well the last couple of seasons, but I think he's going to shoot lights out. He's going to get, I mean, he's never going to get these wide open shots that he's going to get playing with Cleveland. I mean, he's going to be wide open, because with all the attention that you have to pay, to LeBron James and also Kyrie Irving, that's going to open up things for Kyle Korver. And I know Kyle Korver is a no-help guy, but in this situation, you're going to have to help off of somebody. Either James or Kyrie's going to get theirs, or Korver's going to get his. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. They still need another point guard like LeBron James says to back up Kyrie Irving, but to me, Cleveland definitely got better by getting Kyle Korver. There's no doubt about that. I mean, man, I would love to be him. I would love to be Kyle Korver right now. Just sit back and just take those wide-open threes. It's going to be nice for him, and it's going to be bad for the rest of the league. I'm just letting you know. Right now, I'm really close to switching to pick and I still have time, but I'm really close to switching my pick. I picked Golden State to win it all, but with that Kyle Korver trade, that is big. And then J.R. Smith's going to come back before the playoffs start. Ooh, watch out. Watch out for the Cavaliers going back-to-back. That is big. That I really love that move by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, on Saturday, Oklahoma City, they beat Denver 121-106. Russell Westbrook, he scored 32 points. He had another triple-double. He scored 32 points. He had 17 rebounds and 11 assists. Steven Adams scored 16 points. Oklahoma City shot 48% from the field. To me, they still shot too many threes. 36 attempted threes. That's still, to me, too many threes. I like to see Oklahoma City attack and get to the basket, get the ball into the paint. That's when I think Oklahoma City's at their best. Some guys that shouldn't take too many threes, in my opinion, but look, they got the job done on Saturday, and that was a much-needed win for Oklahoma City because, like, again, their road ahead is really, really tough. Their next two games at Chicago, at Memphis, wow, really, really tough games. So we'll see how Oklahoma City does. For Denver, Will Barton scored 21 points in the loss, but they shot just 40%. You have to give it up to the Thunder defense. They did a great job defensively. And also, Oklahoma City did a great job of getting to the free throw line as well. So that was a big advantage for Oklahoma City in that basketball game as they got to the free throw line. So a nice win there. In Houston, they get a nice win over Toronto on Sunday. Another triple-double for James Harden. I mean, like, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are making triple-doubles look easy. It'll be interesting to see who wins the MVP, but we still have a long ways to go. But, man, you can't go wrong with either picking James Harden or Russell Westbrook. Right now, I'll give a slight lean to Russell Westbrook, especially if he averages a triple-double for the rest of the year. I'm going to give it to him, so we shall wait and see on that. And let's turn our attention quickly to college basketball. Don't forget, it's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. In college basketball, Duke, they hung on to beat Boston College on Saturday, 93-82. Six Blue Devils were in double figures, led by Jason Tatum, who scored 22 points. Grayson Allen had 12 points and 11 assists in his new role as point guard and facilitator. They shot 55% from the field, and they forced 21 turnovers. That was good, but they struggled in the second half, especially without Amil Jefferson, who has suffered a bone bruise in the same foot that kept him out most of the season last year. So he's going to be out for the Florida State game, which is Tuesday night, so we'll see how long he's going to be out. No ball movement for Duke. In the second half, the ball movement was really, really poor. Jerome Robinson scored 21 points for Boston College in the loss, but they were only 3 of 14 from 3. So I'm glad Duke got the win, but that Jefferson injury, that is a big injury for Duke. He's definitely valuable. He's their best interior defender. So Giles and Bolden are going to step up. He's going to be out for a couple of games. Giles and Bolden are really going to have to step up. They're going to have to step up Tuesday night if they have any chance of beating Florida State as well. Also, on Saturday, Baylor, they did beat Oklahoma State 61-57. My new look, Conte, he scored 17 points. Jonathan Motley had a double-double, 13 points and 10 rebounds. Great defense by Baylor. They held Oklahoma State to 35% shooting. Oklahoma State fought hard, but they fell short. Phil Forte scored 17 points, but Juwan Evans only scored 8 points on 2 of 12 shooting. So Baylor is now the new number one team in the country. So they definitely, the first time in school history, who would have thought Baylor would be the number one team in the country? If you had told me at any point in the season Baylor would be the number one team in the country, I would have said you're crazy. You need to go to a nut house. I would have said you need to go in the nut house. But look, they're playing some great basketball right now. They're going to be in it. And on Tuesday night, they take on West Virginia. That's going to be really, really tough in Morgantown. I'm going to go with West Virginia in an upset there. So they're not going to be number one for long, but they enjoy while it lasts. And the new number two team is Kansas. They beat Texas Tech 85-68. Freight Mankson, he scored 26 points. Devontae Adams had 20. They shot 52% from the field, and they hit 9 threes. Texas Tech shot just 41% from the field, so nice defense there by Kansas. So the top two teams in the country are in the Big 12. So if you're a Big 12 fan, or if you're living in Big 12 country like I am, you have to be kind of happy about that. Baylor and Kansas, the top two teams in the country, that's pretty good. Pretty good for the Big 12. And then finally in the ACC, Florida State did beat Virginia Tech 93-78. Terrence Mann, he scored 22 points. Dwayne Bacon, he added 17. They shot 49% from the field. Great length on defense by Florida State. They do a great job defensively with their length. They do a great job of attacking and getting to the basket. So nice win there by Florida State. In that one, let's talk a little bit more about the national championship game that's about to kick off in a little more than an hour from now. Again, the rematch of last year's title game. And again, I think another key for Alabama is Jalen Hurts. He's going to have some early success against that Clemson front seven. I think that'll be key. And then for Clemson, I think early on, they need to be balanced. They need to find some kind of run game. They need to get Wayne Gallman going, and that'll help their play-action pass. They need to hit some big plays in the pass game. They're going to have to protect Deshaun Watson, which is easier said than done against that Alabama defensive line led by Jonathan Allen, which is just ferocious. They get after you. They're going to have to do a good job of protecting their quarterback. Can they do that? Will they do that? That's the key. For Clemson, I'm going to go with Alabama. Look, I wanted to take the risk. I was really tempted to take a risk and picking Clemson, but I just cannot pick against Alabama. It seems like every big game they really step up, and most of the big games they step up, besides a couple years ago when they lost to Ohio State in the college football playoff. Usually when it's a big game, Nick Saban, they step up. He's going for his sixth title, his fifth at Alabama. I think they get the job done. I think Alabama wins in the close one. I don't think it'll be easy. I think Clemson will have some success offensively, but I like Alabama to get the job done again, 28-24. But thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time, guys. We'll talk about the national championship game. Also, we'll break down, and I'll give you previews of the divisional round games in the NFL playoffs. We'll be going over those, including Dallas taking on Green Bay, and also Atlanta hosting Seattle. So have a blessed rest of your week. Enjoy the national title game. God is good. Trust in Him, and we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.